Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you it's your living word. It still speaks to us today as it has done throughout the ages. Let's pray for open hearts and minds as we hear from you today. Amen. Amen. So we're working through the initial chapters of the book of Acts at the moment. Only got two more weeks to go, in fact. We're not going to do the whole book of Acts. When I was at Fishponds, we did a series on Acts, and it was 48 weeks, and even then we had to cram everything in. So we've just got a couple more to go, and then I'm away on holiday. Now, initially, of course, the plan had been that Tim would cover those two Sundays, but as he can, we've actually got two guest speakers coming. You're going to firstly hear on the 23rd of July from Tony Peck. Tony Peck lives in Tewkesbury now. He is the former president of the EBF, the European Baptist Federation, a good egg all round. So he'll be here. And then on the 30th of July, you have someone who we know fairly well here. It's my mentor, Paul Wilcox. Then we got August, and in August we tend to do a slightly different feel for the church, a shorter service, a bit more all age throughout, and there's a few of us who will be speaking throughout that. And then after the summer, after the break and the rest that Fee was praying about, hopefully, we come back refreshed, ready to commit to serving God again. So we've been working through these initial chapters of Acts, and we come to this passage that Hannah just, as our treasurer, just coincidentally, read to us. And what a bizarre, dramatic, and slightly unnerving passage this is. We've got this idea of the community selling their goods and belongings, and then bringing it, and a couple of them not quite bringing everything that they could have done, and dropping dead. Well, what does one say about that? One thing I do want to say is this, and one question I want to pose is this. Is this story of Ananias and Sapphira dropping down dead, and Peter's comments, is this telling us that we cannot own our own stuff? So that's the first question I want to pose. And the answer is, I don't think it is saying that at all. In fact, for those of you who got your Bibles open, if you just want to check out chapter 5 and verse 4 again, what I think this does is indicates that Peter affirms that people do and they can own their own stuff. He isn't saying we can't have our own money, houses, clothes, cars, boats, if you've got it. You name it. He isn't saying that we can't have our own stuff. Ananias, as we see in that verse, owned the land, and that was okay. When he sold it, the money he got for it was his, and that was okay. What was not okay was he then lied about what he has, as Peter said, not just to human beings, but to God. So what happened? He dropped down dead. He died there and then on the spot. So it's okay for us to own, to use, to benefit from stuff in our lives. This passage is not saying we can't have anything. I just wanted to make that clear to start with. So what have we got here? Well, Jesus has recently ascended to heaven. We heard about that a few weeks ago. He has empowered his church with the Holy Spirit. We heard about that a few weeks ago. And he has charged the church to take the good news of salvation through him to everyone, to the ends of the earth. The believers had begun this great work, this massive, momentous task. And sometimes critical times like this call for drastic action. The normal routine of owning a house, maybe some land, and having a business needed to be suspended for a while to enable this church, this new church, to get going. That's why folk were selling their possessions and giving the proceeds to this growing church. You know, we're told no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. And the passage goes on to say that there were no needy persons among them because of that, because of their sharing. And we shouldn't really be surprised by this, should we? If you look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, we actually hear Jesus saying something similar in verses 33 to 34. He says to his disciples, "Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The use of treasure, of our possessions, and I would like to add our time and our energy, is always a reflection of our hearts, a reflection of our real desires, a reflection of what is truly, what is really important to us. And that was especially true, I guess, of this early group of believers who were controlled by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit had moved them to share the things that they were given so that no one was found to be lacking or in need of anything. And they did so that the gospel could be made known further afield. They did so the kingdom of God could be advanced. They knew that they had a momentous task to get this church, this new movement, if you like, off the ground and doing the things that God wanted it to do. Remember, we're only talking initially just a few handfuls of disciples. You know, there are times, even now, when the church is faced with a particular momentous task, that the only responsible thing to do is to pool resources together and get to work. You know, on a smaller scale, churches are doing this all the time. On a smaller scale, we've done that here. This church has often risen to the challenges that come our way. When there's been natural disasters, you've given to various appeals. That includes, of course, when there was issues with no crops in Uganda a few years ago, we supported and we provided food for those in the areas that we know well. When we've appealed for help for supporting teachers or playground equipment in Nkodi School in Western Uganda, this church has stepped up and it's been amazing to see. It really has. We came together to pledge support for originally getting a youth worker back in 2018. We came together to fund Tim for the 3 years that he was placed with us. We are stewards. We are all stewards of our personal property. We know that everything that we have comes from God originally, doesn't it? And we can use it. And we can enjoy it. But we must, however, also use our material wealth to help advance the gospel. We must also be ready to help those in need, which is, of course, simply the outworking of the gospel. Will that mean, perhaps, selling everything that we own, else we drop down dead on the spot? Probably not, but who am I to say that? I'll let him decide. But you get the idea. We need to be ready to do our bit when we can. And I guess it should come as no surprise, it's been a few years since I've even mentioned this subject, but it should come no surprise that before I go on to share other thoughts about this passage, I can't really preach this kind of message without at least mentioning the topic of financial giving to the church. So let me just remind us of one or two things. This is really important to understand. We are a Baptist church. Baptist churches are completely independent. They are completely self-funded. There are some smaller Baptist churches who get a grant from the Baptist Union, a home mission fund, which we give to, but the majority are self-funded. So we rely on each other us here today, those of you at home, others, we rely upon each other to give what we can to this church, to help fund the paid ministry, the staff team, to help fund groups, to manage the buildings, to support missionary work, and in our case in Uganda, in Nepal, through Mission Aviation Fellowship, particularly we have a link with Papua New Guinea, and of course the work of BMS, the Baptist Missionary Society. BMS actually don't get, well, get very little funding from anywhere else other than Baptist churches. So we do all need to think from time to time, what are we going to give to Worcester Baptist Church to allow the church to function and fulfill its mission, to allow us to do the things that we need to do to advance the gospel? I never, ever, in fact, in my 17 years as a minister, I will never, as I know some ministers might do, make an apology for saying that we do have to take this to God and think about what is our giving going to be to this church. It's on our own funding that it survives. So just a couple of practical things. You might want to give by standing order. If you already give by standing order, you might want to consider, is it time to increase that? You can also, if you're a taxpayer, we can claim gift aid. And as any good treasurer would do, I know that Hannah was intending to come armed with some slips of paper with the bank account details on. So if you want to begin to give by standing order, then do see Hannah. For those that are new to the church, we also have an offering box at the back. We tend not, as you notice, we tend not to do an offering through the service. However, I felt it appropriate, because it's very rare that we pray for the offering, pray for the giving of this church, that I'm just going to cut into my sermon right now. Let's pray and thank God for all the gifts that we give this church. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you that everything we have comes from you. And that when we give to this church or other organizations, Lord, all we're effectively doing is giving back to you what came from you in the first place. I thank you, Lord, for all those who loyally give to this church month after month to help the church to function, to help the groups to run, and in some cases to help those who are needy in our community. Lord, I just pray that you speak to all of us. Just tug our hearts, Lord, and help us to know what we should be giving to this church. Lord, we pray that for the sake of the advancement of your gospel. And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'll leave that with you. Back to the passage. Back to the passage. Because for me, this passage isn't just about the need to be generous with our material possessions or finance, although, of course, that is important. This isn't primarily about the importance of telling the truth. My goodness, Ananias told a little lie, and he certainly got his comeuppance for that, didn't he? Although telling the truth is important too, of course. I think this is also about something far more fundamental. It's about the need to be an authentic Christian, an authentic follower of Jesus. It's about the need to not withhold anything from God at all, certainly not when he asks us for something. The very start of this passage, you might have noted the opening, we were told all the believers were one in heart and mind. So before we hear anything about what this group of early believers did do or did not do, we're told about their unity. We're told that they were of one heart and one mind. Their motivation for what they did and why they did it was because they were united in being followers of Jesus and all which that truly meant to them. This unity was a measure, if you like, of their love for each other, something we've been singing about just now, for their love for Jesus and their love for others. They were authentic Christians, and they were forming together to be an authentic church, an authentic body of Christ here on earth. And that authenticity drove them to do whatever they could to help God's cause, to help God's mission, so the advancement of the gospel. It drove them not to withhold anything from God, certainly as they began to get this fledgling church off the ground. Yes, this passage is, of course, about land and money. We read, "For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them. They brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need." So yes, this passage is about land and money. But that is a sign, a factor in being an authentic Christian, in being authentic in how we choose to live for Jesus and for his church. So I guess my question today to all of us is, in an authentic way, are we prepared to give all that God asks of us? That might be financially, but it could be in other ways too. Our time, our energy, our various gifts. You know, this church is blessed with people who have gotten a huge array of gifts. They've come from God. He might be asking you to use them in some way to help his church here. You know, our final song, I've gone for a golden oldie today. Our final song indicates, if we mean what we sing, that there are things that we are wanting to give God for his use. It speaks of our life that we're going to give to God. Our moments, our hands, our feet, our voice, our lips, our silver and gold, our intellect, our will, our heart, our love, ourselves. I can see one or two trying to work out which song it is now. You'll know it. That is what God wants of us. To give him all those things when he asks us for them. Are you prepared to do that? Not withholding that which he wants from you to help grow his kingdom. To help those around who are in need. To help this church here in the centre of Worcester. It really isn't for me to say whether you'll drop down dead if you don't give what God asks of you, like Ananias and his wife Sapphira. I hope not. But the point is, are you prepared in an authentic way to give all of what God asks of you? It's part of being an authentic Christian. It's part of being an authentic church. As we sung, living in a way that God truly wants, loving in a way that God has loved us. It's all part of us as individuals, as us as a community, a gathered community coming together as they were doing in that early church. It's all part of us playing our role in growing the kingdom of God here on earth. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that I know you. I thank you that you created me as you created every single person attending today. I want to thank you that you love us. You love us so much, Lord, that you give us all sorts of things, material possessions, gifts. You give us energy, time. Father, help us to use those things, all the things that come from you, to better serve you, to better serve those around us, to better serve this church. Lord, I pray that you speak to us today and prompt us where You might be suggesting, Lord, that there are things that we can do to serve you better in these ways, to give more of ourselves, to give more of the things that we will shortly be singing about. Father, ultimately what matters is not what's here on this earth, but what will last for eternity. Help us, Lord, to live this life in the light of our eternal future. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to sing.